Title: Mixing Atmospheric Hiss So It Feels Intentional Advanced. Alright, today we're taking something that's usually an afterthought in drum and bass and turning it into a controlled, musical, intentional part of the record, atmospheric hiss. Because hiss can do two totally different things. When it's done well, it's width, glue, emotion, and that world around the drums. When it's done badly, it's headroom theft, harshness, and a cheap layer that masks your hats and snare. The goal of this lesson is simple. The hiss should sit behind the drums, move with the groove, stay out of the sub and the snare crack, and evolve with the arrangement so it feels scored, not pasted on. We're doing this with Ableton Live Stock devices, and we're building something you can reuse, an Atmos Hiss Bus. First, step 0, pick the right source. Start with character, not processing. If you want nostalgic, glued, then on tape energy, grab a long vinyl or tape noise sample, or even record a real noise floor. If you want modern control, use operator's noise oscillator and filter it. If you want cinematic, organic air, use Foley like rain, room tone, vents, crowd beds. Quick drum and bass note, for rollers especially, steady hiss tends to work best. Don't rely on random crackle movement to create interest. Let the movement come from mixing, ducking, modulation, and arrangement automation. Now step 1. Route it like a pro. Create an audio track called Hiss, and then route all hiss layers to either a group bus or a return track called Atmos Bus. Here's the decision. If you want individual control per layer, group them. If you want one global control point that can feed the whole track's atmosphere, use a return. Either way, the win is you're mixing hiss like a system. One place to EQ it, tame it, automate it, and keep it consistent. Now step 2. Build the core chain on the Atmos Bus. In order, load, EQ8, saturator, multiband dynamics, utility, compressor for sidechain ducking, autopan optionally for subtle motion, and a limiter at the end just as a safety net. Let's dial this in. Step 3 is EQ, and this is non-negotiable. Open EQ8. First, high pass it. Use a 24 dB per octave filter, and start around 350 Hz. Your range is roughly 250 to 500. The purpose is simple. Hiss must not crowd low mids or mess with bass harmonics. If you leave low mid noise in, your mix gets foggy and your bass impact shrinks. Next, low pass it. People forget this, and then wonder why their hats feel edgy and tiring. Use a 12 dB per octave low pass, and start around 12 kHz. You've got a workable range of 10 to 14 kHz depending on the source. If your hats live around 8 to 12k, don't let the hiss dominate that exact space. Hats should feel like detail. Hiss should feel like air behind the detail. Then do a pain check. Two common zones. If it's fizzy, try a narrow dip around 7 to 9kHz. If it's spitty and stepping on snare presence, try a small dip around 3 to 5kHz. And here is a pro workflow tip. EQ in two perspectives. Solo the hiss to shape the tone, then unsolo and set the hiss level low under the drums. If you only EQ in solo, you'll overpolish it. If you only EQ in the full mix, you'll miss what's actually harsh in the texture itself. Do both. Step 4. Saturation for identity. Add saturator. Try soft sign or analog clip. Drive it lightly, like plus 2 to plus 6 dB, then trim output so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. If it helps density, enable soft clip. Why are we doing this? Because pure white noise is sterile. Saturation adds harmonic structure, so it reads like tape air or a physical noise floor, not a static generator. If it starts getting fizzy, back off. In this lesson, character is coming from control and movement, not from trashing the top end. Step 5. Multiband dynamics to stabilize the texture. Think of this as your texture stabilizer. Even if you act properly, noise sources can still have spiky moments that poke out and make the listener suddenly notice the hiss. Set it so the low band, below roughly 300 Hz, is basically dead. You already high-passed, but this catches leftovers. Pull that band down hard. For the mid-band, around 300 Hz to 6 kHz, use gentle downward compression to keep it steady, so it doesn't mask snare tone. Ratio around 2 to 1. Attack maybe 10 to 30 milliseconds, release 80 to 200 milliseconds. For the high band, 6 kHz and up, you're smoothing spikes while keeping it airy. Ratio 2 to 3 to 1. Faster attack, like 1 to 10 milliseconds, and release around 50 to 150 milliseconds. Key idea, the hiss should be present, but it should not get spitty when the mix gets busy. Step 6. Stereo strategy. Wide air, stable center. Add utility. Start with width around 130%. Your range is roughly 120 to 160 depending on the track. But here's the discipline. Keep low content mono. If your live version has bass mono, use it. If not, your earlier high pass plus careful EQ is doing most of the job anyway, but the mindset is what matters. Stereo should mostly be in the air, not in the midrange where snare and leads need focus. Advanced move. Midside EQ. Use EQ aid in M/S mode. On the sides, high pass even higher, like 600 Hz to 1K Hz, so the stereo energy is basically air only. This keeps the center punchy and the sides expansive. And do a reality check. Throw utility at the end of the chain and toggle mono briefly. If the hiss collapses in a weird way, or disappears too much, reduce width or move your widening earlier and keep the final stage more stable. Step 7 is where it starts feeling designed. Sidechain ducking. Add compressor after utility, enable sidechain, and feed it from your drum bus. Not just kick, kick plus snare, or the entire drum group. Because in drum and bass, the snare is often the moment where masking is most obvious. Start with ratio 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 160 milliseconds. Then lower the threshold until you're seeing about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on hits. Aim around 4 dB on snare hits as a solid starting point. Listen for the goal. Every kick and snare pushes the air back, so your drums stay forward and the hiss feels like room tone reacting to impact, not a layer sitting on top. Timing note, a faster release gives you more pumping, which can be wicked for jungle energy. A slower release is smoother and pad-like, great for rollers. Now step 8, controlled motion. Keep it classy. Add auto pan very subtly, amount around 10 to 25%. Rate super slow, like 0.05 to 0.15 Hz. Or sync it to 2 or 4 bars. Phase around 90 to 120 degrees. Avoid going full dramatic unless you want a special effect. Alternative motion, and honestly sometimes better. Tiny filter drift. Automate the low pass on EQ 8 by small amounts. In a breakdown, you might drift from 12 kHz down to 10.5 over 8 bars for warmth. Or open the filter slightly on fills to lift energy. Motion should feel like air moving, not like you're showing off an LFO. Now step 9, arrangement. This is the difference between noise layer and intentional atmosphere. In the intro, you can run more hiss and more width. Keep the low pass a bit lower so it's warmer, and you can add very subtle reverb to push it back in space. Use a decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds. Low cut the reverb around 400 to 800 Hz, and keep dry wet low, like 5 to 12%. The point is distance, not a wash. In the build, last 4 bars, before the drop, automate hiss up a dB or 2. Open the low pass a little, and increase sidechain slightly, so it breathes with snare rolls. That breathing creates excitement without stepping on transients. In the drop, do the counterintuitive pro move. Reduce hiss a bit. Keep ducking active. And if the mix is busy, narrow width slightly. This keeps the drop punchy and stops the top end from turning into a constant cheat. In breakdowns, bring hiss forward again, and if you want extra spread, add chorus ensemble at a tiny mix, like 5 to 10%, but high pass before it so you don't smear mids. Now step 10. Gain staging and how loud is loud enough. A practical reality. In a drop, hiss off in live so low you feel it more than you hear it. A fast test is the mute test. Mute the hiss. If the mix collapses and feels smaller, you nailed it. If you hear the hiss as its own obvious track, it's too loud. Another fast test. Turn your monitors down. If hiss becomes the first thing you notice at low volume, it's too loud or too bright. Now, let's add some extra coach workflow that speeds everything up. Here's a null-style calibration trick. Temporarily resample your hiss bus to an audio track for 8 bars, just so you can focus. Mute everything except drums and bass. Bring hiss in until the groove feels finished. Then flip perspective. Turn the hiss up 6 dB on purpose, and listen to what it masks first. Usually it's the snare crack around 3 to 6 kHz, or head edge around 8 to 12K, that tells you which band to tame before you set the final level. This is way faster than random EQ guessing. Another surgical workflow. Build a masked map with spectrum. Put spectrum on the hiss bus. Solo drums and note the peaks that define them, like where the snare presence lives and where the hats shimmer. On solo, and watch where the hiss stacks up in those areas. Then do 1 or 2 wide dips instead of 10 tiny notches. Too many cuts makes hiss feel synthetic and disconnected. And watch your master bus. If your limiter or master compression starts reacting when the hiss comes in, don't just lower hiss. Reduce its crest factor. Use glue compressor on the hiss bus. Gentle settings like 1.5 to 2 to 1. Slowish attack. Medium release. and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. The idea is to make the hiss less spiky so it doesn't poke the master. Also, pre-fader sends are huge for cinematic control. If you're sending hiss to a reverb return, switch the send to pre-fader or pre-fx. Now you can automate hiss audibility without changing how much air verb is feeding the space. That's how you keep a consistent world while the texture moves forward and back. Now for an advanced variation that's worth building as a template. Split the hiss into two rolls, bed and edge. Make an audio effect rock with two chains. Bed is mid-focused, band limited, mostly center, steady. Think roughly 400 Hz to 8K Hz, conservative width. Edge is top-focused, brighter, wider, but duct harder. Think 7K Hz and up. More width, more aggressive sidechain. Then macro map controls, overall level, edge level, width, distance, which can be a reverb send amount, and duct depth. Now you can change the perceived expensiveness of the atmosphere without touching your drums. That's the whole point. The drums stay mixed. The world changes around them. A couple sound design extras if you want the hiss to really belong. You can make a microtonal illusion where the hiss hints at your key. Add resonators very quietly, like 5 to 15% dry wet. Tune it to your root note, heap decay short, then EQ after so it's just a whisper. Suddenly your noise isn't generic anymore. You can also fake tape air without tape plugins, gentle saturator, then redux at very low dry wet with something like 10 to 14 bits, then a low pass filter with tiny movement. That micro grain plus gentle drift sells analog in a really convincing way. And one of my favorite glue tricks, build hiss from your own drums. Duplicate your drum bus, add resonators or corpus subtly, then a heavy reverb, high pass aggressively above 500 Hz. Compress it until it becomes steady, and tuck it under the real drums. Now your atmosphere has the same fingerprint as your kit. That's why it feels intentional. Now, quick practice exercise to lock this in. Load a clean rolling DNB loop, kick, snare, hats, bass. Add a white noise sample or operator noise and loop it for 16 bars. Build the chain, EQ 8, saturator, multiband dynamics, utility, compressor with side chain. This audio version is shortened for playback.